States government.
Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says the number of cases and the prevalence of diabetes have been steadily increasing globally over the past few decades. About 422 million people worldwide have diabetes. According to the International Diabetes Federation, about 19 million adults in Africa live with diabetes, and 60% of adults with the disease do not know that they have it. A short animated documentary called Three Teaspoons of Sugar, produced in South Africa, aims to shed a light on the complications of diabetes. I spoke to the co-directors, Dr. Chepo Maka and Kabelo Maka, a mother and daughter who combined their skills in medicine and animation to produce the educational animation. Take a listen.
Dr. Chepo Maka and Kabelo Maka, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So you are a team of mother and daughter, and together you have created a documentary called Three Teaspoons of Sugar. What prompted you to get to the documentary? What's the background story to this? And I'm going to start with the mother, Dr. Chepo.
Look, I had no intentions of ever being in animation at all, you know, but I realized that it is a good tool to simplify complex medical things. I trained in anesthesiology, and so when I first had my challenge in explaining what an anesthetist does, I realized that animation could actually help me. And when she did that, I then said, okay, let us collaborate and work together and create medical animation and content. That was the first thing. And then when she wanted to do her very first film, I said, why do you struggle? You know, we have diabetes in the family. You have a doctor in the family. It's a low-hanging fruit. Let's do a story about diabetes. And we created Three Teaspoons of Sugar. She came up with a name, which I thought was brilliant. And I just, gave the support from a medical point of view.
Kabelo, why did you get drawn into this project?
So I have always loved animation. With anyone who works in the animation industry, you often find that they've been watching it since they were young, and it's just something that just absolutely captivates you. So it was just a natural thing for me to make animation and to be part of that industry. As I have kind of been doing animation in South Africa, I decided, you know what, let me just start my own company called Cablo Studios. And Dr. T, who's my mom, came in and partnered with me. And then that's how I realized, okay, we can create animation in the medical space. And then specifically for this film, it was kind of a natural thing to tell the story with our family, because the animation also features the actual voices of our family members, and that's part of what makes it a documentary.
My name is Dr. Tsepo Maka, aka Dr. T, and I'm the family doctor. I'm the only doctor in this family.
Diabetes is something that you can manage. You can manage it really by diet.
And Dr. T, as you like to be called, talk to us about the issue of diabetes. We know that it is a growing problem in developing countries, and Africa is seeing its share of the burden.
Let me tell you that it is said that type 2 diabetes is the next epidemic in South Africa. And South Africa has the most diabetes patients on the continent. In South Africa right now, we're sitting with just under 5 million cases of adults with diabetes. So it is quite costly in terms of the burden on families, on quality of life for those that have diabetes, but more importantly, on the health systems. So it's something that we cannot ignore. It's something that we cannot just sweep under the rug. And currently now, people that have diabetes are at high risk of getting complicated COVID-19 and even dying from it.
Kabelo, can you talk to us about creating animation around this story? Usually when we think about animation, a lot of time people think that it's for children. So how much impact do you hope to create using animation to raise awareness about a problem that is affecting many, many adults?
What I think is really lovely about animation is that it can make medical content charming and actually less intimidating to engage with. My mother is a doctor, so I'm in that space where I'm comfortable to have those kinds of conversations and I can ask her when I don't understand something. But other people don't necessarily have that resource. So with our animation, we're really hoping to make the information easy to digest and easy to remember, and also make it personal, you know, where we share stories and we make it anecdotal. And when you see real people living through those experiences, it just makes it less intimidating to deal with.
Yeah. And what I like, just to add on that, is that health literacy is very low. In actual fact, I was reading the other day that it's two levels lower than normal literacy. So you would think that people are aware of health issues and so on, in as much as they are aware of general issues, but it's not the case. And so animation allows us to talk to people at all health literacy levels, you know, so we can talk to the CEO, we can talk to the tea lady using moving pictures. And that's what I like about animation. Mm-hmm. And also because you can dub it in different languages.
Yeah.
It means if somebody speaks a native South African language, you could also speak to them about a medical condition that they can understand in their own language. So for me, really, animation is solving some of the problems that I've seen as a clinician, and it is also helping public health education, health promotion.
What do viewers take away after they watch this short animation film? What is the message?
So a lot of people have said, you know, they've connected with the story because their families have gone through similar things. Others have said, oh, you guys made it so easy to understand and see the symptoms because you explained them so simply with the drawings. So my intention was just to try to share a family story and try to be as clear as possible. But I didn't realize that people would connect with it, not just because the facts are there and they're interesting and all of that, but I didn't realize that people would also connect with the story of the characters as well. So that's been very positive.
For me, it's a lot of people have never seen a heart blocked because of diabetes. You know, they've never seen what happens to the eye because of diabetes or the kidney. So I wanted people to be able to see those things and then change their behavior. So what I have heard people say is, I've never seen diabetes like that. It hit home in that it was explained better, because people used to think diabetes is like a handbag. You can just have it and, you know, you move along and life goes on. But after they've seen the film, especially from the premiere, it was, oh, I didn't know that happened. And now I understand it. Now I'm be able to talk to my mom about it. Now I'll be able to explain it to my family about it. And so I felt that we have achieved the goal in trying to educate people on diabetes, in telling them how to make sure they don't get it. And if they have it, that they don't get the complications.
So Dr. T, how do they make sure they don't get it? And if they get it, they don't get the complication. Can you kind of summarize it, some of the basic steps?
We have a history of a diabetes in our family. So for us, exercise is on top of the list. So we have to always make sure that we exercise. A good exercise, they know when we're on holiday, I always say we have to exercise. And they say I'm a party pooper because I always include exercise in everything that we do. Secondly, it's in the food that we eat. You know, and sometimes Africans like to eat a big plate full of food, and it's not even different colors or, you know, a lot of vegetables. So eat small portions, make sure that you have a balanced diet, more fruits, more vegetables, avoid processed foods, avoid fizzy drinks, drink a lot of water, and maintain your weight. Obesity is a risk to developing diabetes, so you have to make sure that your weight is contained, you know. And if you have a diabetes, in order not to have complications, monthly checkups, ensure that you get checked by your physician to make sure that your eyesight is okay. They check your heart. They will check your kidneys every now and then, and your sugar level. You know, the one thing about people that are diabetic is that they need to make sure that their sugar levels are not too high or not too low. You know, we always give them the little glucometer, the small machine to measure their sugars every day, you know. So that needs to happen. Make sure that you are compliant with your medication. If you take your medication correctly, then the risk of getting complications are reduced.
And Camilo, why 3 teaspoons of sugar?
So the story is about 3 characters in our family who have had diabetes based off of my grandmother, my aunt, so my mother's sister, and my great-grandmother. And when I thought about sugar and I thought about how people refer to diabetes as the sugar in our language, I thought about, okay, where do we eat sugar? And I thought about tea, and I thought about the 3 characters representing sugar, and that's where the idea of 3 teaspoons of sugar came about. It was they are kind of symbolic of that.
Dr. T, what is your final message around this project and this film?
It's a film about a message for a condition that kills more people than TB, HIV, and malaria combined. So let us take diabetes management very, very carefully. And from one of the journals that I read said, diabetes will be the leading cause of death in South Africa, at least in 2040. So let us not allow diabetes to kill our people. Let us prevent it from happening. It doesn't mean that when you have diabetes, then you are not able to live a quality of life. You can have a full quality of life if you take care of yourself and if you do what we're telling you to do. And yes, when you get an opportunity, watch 3 teaspoons of sugar, and it will guide you and add to the information that you might or might not have about diabetes.
Diagnosed with sugar diabetes, it was pregnancy induced, in fact.
And Cabello, where can one watch 3 teaspoons of sugar?
So right now, 3 teaspoons of sugar is part of the Annecy International Animation Festival, which is online. It's online.annecy.org. Okay. And then the other way that you can watch 3 teaspoons of sugar is on Vimeo On Demand. You can just search for 3 teaspoons of sugar, and then you can watch it there, as well as some behind-the-scenes content that we've added as well.
So Dr. Chepo Maka and Cabello Maka, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
That was my discussion with Dr. Chepo Maka and filmmaker Cabello Maka, both co-directors of the animation short film, 3 Tablespoons of Sugar. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Join a panel of prominent Washington journalists as they deliberate the latest top stories of the week. This weekend, Issues in the News moderator Dan Raviv will lead the panel on a discussion of the Trump administration considering unilateral action to end a stalemate with Congress on a coronavirus bill. Don't miss Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Welcome back to Health Chat. Healthcare workers in sub-Saharan Africa recently marked World Hepatitis Day to raise awareness of the virus, which causes inflammation of the liver and kills about 300 people per day in the region. While global coverage of a birth dose vaccine for hepatitis B is 43%, only 6% receive it in Africa. In Cameroon, health officials have begun dispatching healthcare workers to find Hep B patients who are avoiding treatment and getting the vaccine for their newborns. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports in Yaoundé.
52-year-old farmer Valerie Mbappe says she was diagnosed with hepatitis in April, but she was reluctant to go to a doctor because her uncle told her she should be treated by a traditional healer. After going to the healer, Mbappe's abdominal pain, fatigue, and fever have gotten worse.
Pour dire de vrai, je n'ai jamais trompé mon mari. Je vais dire aux gens qui sont malades dehors.
She says now that she knows that she can be treated at the hospital, her advice is that people should not be reluctant to visit health facilities for their hepatitis screening. She says she was told by the nurse that she should stop drinking and smoking heavily because it may lead to complications during her treatment. Mbappe was brought to the General Hospital in Yaoundé by members of SOS Hepatitis, a charity group that helps patients seek treatment. Spokesman for the group, Samuel Yamisi, says the efforts are part of this year's World Hepatitis Day activities, marked annually on July 28.
Les patients positifs seront pris en charge et les patients qui sont négatifs seront vaccinés.
He says their main target is the majority of patients who refuse to go to hospitals and prefer traditional treatments. Everyone who tests positive for hepatitis can get help from his group and the government, says Yamisi. He says those who test negative will be given their first dose of the hepatitis vaccine. People who take the first dose of the vaccine should come for the second dose after 3 months and the last dose after 6 months, says Yamisi, to be free of the disease. In 2019, Cameroon reported 12,000 new cases of hepatitis B, up from 9,600 in 2018. But Cameroon's Minister of Health says 13% of people are living with hepatitis B in the country of 25 million. Despite the high rate of infection, the ministry says less than 1,500 Cameroonians are receiving treatment. The Minister of Health, Dr. Simon Eyong, treats hepatitis B patients. He says to encourage patients to go to hospitals, the government reduced the cost of treatment from $250 per month to less than $50.
Since it is a slow killer disease, which symptoms only appear when it has already reached its climax, get tested, get vaccinated, keep away from unprescribed medications like anti-inflammatory, like paracetamol.
Cameroon's 360 government hospitals this year for the first time dispatched health workers to track patients and ensure they get their treatments and vaccines. The health ministry's Dr. Abdoulaye Sadio says the government also targets best dose hepatitis vaccines for newborns. He spoke via telephone from the northern town of Garoua. Sadio says the government has given firm instructions that all newborn babies, all mothers, and all pregnant women should be screened and vaccinated against hepatitis B. He says the government has also given instructions that everyone tested positive should be treated immediately. The only challenge they have, says Sadio, is meeting the so many mothers who never visit hospitals and prefer to deliver at home. Only 35% of Cameroon's 25 million people visit hospitals. Others rely on traditional healers and only go to hospitals when their health becomes critical. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
We remain in Cameroon, where medical authorities say over 200,000 children have not received routine vaccinations on schedule since March, when the country had its first case of COVID-19. Parents are refusing to take their kids to hospitals because they fear they may be infected with the virus, which has spread to nearly 17,000 people and caused about 400 deaths. Doctors are warning that without the vaccinations, children in Cameroon risk preventable diseases such as measles and whooping cough. Once again, here is Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé.
A 4-month-old baby cries as she receives her second polio vaccine at the Chantal Biya Foundation Hospital in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. 27-year-old Elizabeth Mbungong says she is getting her baby's booster shot nearly 3 months late because she was scared of going to the hospital during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I gave birth in the month of March and the first vaccine was given to the baby against tetanus. They gave me another rendezvous in the month of April. I did not respect because I was afraid of the coronavirus.
Mbungong said after she watched a TV program on the dangers of not vaccinating children, she decided that going to the hospital was worth the risk. Pediatrician Clemence Vukmo says many parents are letting fear of the virus prevent them from getting their children vaccinated.
Nous avons constaté une baisse extrêmement importante.
She says Chantal Bia Foundation Hospital should have had 2,300 children for routine vaccinations since March, but they have seen only about half the children. Cameroon's medical officials say the problem has been widespread during the pandemic. Cameroon's National Expanded Program for Immunization reports across the country at least 200,000 children have not received their vaccinations as scheduled. Deputy Permanent Secretary of the program, Shalom Chokfe, says they have deployed staff to look for the children. He spoke via telephone from Douala, a coastal city and the largest in Cameroon.
48,000 enfants à 54,000 enfants ont vaccinés entre mars et avril.
Chokfe says the situation is especially troubling in the capital Yaoundé, the economic hub Douala, and the western town of Bafoussam. He says 110,000 children in those cities have not received their routine vaccines since the month of March, when Cameroon reported its first case of COVID-19. Teams can meet the children in their houses, says Chokfe. Parents and health workers are safe during routine vaccinations at hospitals, he says, as long as they wear their mask and wash their hands regularly. Chokfe notes that vaccinations dramatically reduce child mortality and urges all parents to get their infants vaccinated on schedule. The United Nations warned this month of an alarming decline in the number of children getting vaccinated for preventable diseases such as diphtheria, tetanus, and the measles. According to a study published by the Lancet Global Health Journal this month, continuing with routine immunizations may lead to 8,300 additional deaths in Africa from COVID-19. But the study said suspending vaccinations could lead to a further 702,000 African children dying from preventable diseases. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
The World Health Organization promotes the benefits of breastfeeding and says it is safe for mothers who have COVID-19 to breastfeed their babies. WHO tells VOA formula marketing companies are involved in dirty tricks, even publicizing false information about COVID-19 to sell their products to mothers. Take a listen.
Well, as you know, the COVID-19 pandemic situation is unprecedented. At first, there was initially some confusion for mothers in relation to breastfeeding and COVID. Also, there was a significant drop in attendance at clinics and also for immunization because mothers felt that coming to the facility put them at risk of infection. But then a lot of work has been done with new guidance says that once you follow the protocols, wearing of the face mask and also making sure that the hands are washed, it's safe to continue to breastfeed. So gradually, as the restrictions have been eased in Nigeria, there's also been a corresponding increase at the facilities.
So there is no transmission of COVID through breast milk itself?
No, there is no evidence that there's COVID transmission through the breast milk. But breast milk is a baby's first immunization. So it's very important to also ensure that mothers continue to breastfeed their babies.
Tell us again why breast milk is so important.
Breast milk is medicine. It has all the nutrients that the baby needs to keep growing for the first 1,000 days of life. And it's very, very important that mothers and families maximize the benefits of breast milk, especially in this COVID-19 pandemic, to provide the most immunity against disease they can provide for their babies.
Of course, the economic impact of COVID has meant widespread economic dislocation, along with fear of famine.
Well, you know, the National Bureau of Statistics have done some studies on the economic impact of the pandemic on livelihoods. And you can see the inflation since May has been growing month by month. Things are extremely expensive. But breast milk comes cost-free. It's available. And the science is out there that even when the mother does not have enough nutrition for herself, she's still able to provide enough breast milk for her baby. And so the family is free of the cost associated with infant formula, which is very expensive, you know, and it's not advised.
I know that organizers for this year's World Breastfeeding Week have linked environmental awareness with their normal recommendations in favor of breast milk.
Yes, the thematic tone for this year's World Breastfeeding Week is about breast milk in support of the environment. And we do know, you know, the breast milk substitutes from the production to the packaging process to landfills and environmental pollution.
Speaking of infant formula, I'm told there was a significant ramp up in corporate marketing of formula during the days when people were not so sure that babies would not get COVID through breast milk.
That's correct. And there's been a lot of international efforts to push back against the aggressive marketing. If you are going to do a donation, it should not be branded. But in this context, because of the panic, a lot of marketing was going on.
Through radio and TV and other media?
Not on the media, but through so-called humanitarian efforts, donations of branded breast milk. You know, so it was time to make a public statement on the need to comply with the code.
Now to Kenya, where the Ministry of Health says the number of mental health cases have jumped dramatically during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the country's Mental Health Task Force, 25% of coronavirus outpatients and 40% of in-hospital patients suffer from mental health issues such as depression. But more Kenyans are seeking help and speaking up about it. Mohamed Yusuf reports.
Sheila Orono is going through her sixth therapy session and her first face-to-face this year. She's meeting her counselor to get help for a mental health problem that has grown worse in recent months.
In a phase where I just wanted to be alone, I don't want to talk to anyone, I don't want to do anything. But now I've gone back to my normal self. I can do something. I can even listen to a music. Like the normal me has come back. I was heading to, but now with the therapy sessions, and the need for me to come out and say that I'm suffering from bipolar, like a mental illness.
The psychiatric disability organization in Nakuru County receives at least 4 patients a day suffering from different mental health issues. Zipporah Mumbi is one of the psychologists.
And just helping them to have psychological resilience, to realize that even during this moment, during the pandemic, where there are chances of heightened depression, that it doesn't mean that it's a season that will be there forever, but then during this process they can have what you call psychological resilience for them to be able to cope and understand that they can still bounce back.
The World Health Organization defines mental health as a well-being in which an individual realizes his or her own ability and can cope with the normal stresses of life. 34-year-old Wangui Waweru developed COVID-19-like symptoms in March. After a few days, health workers dressed in protective gear picked her up. She says even though her test for the virus turned out negative, the treatment she got from some of her neighbors and community members affected her mentally.
You can see some 1, 2, 3 people understand you and talk to you or associates with you, but there are those who are so illiterate, who don't believe that you can be healed.
This month, Kenya's Task Force on Mental Health, co-chaired by Frank Njenga, found that many Kenyans suffer mental illness without knowing it.
If you look at a family with 5 people, 2 parents and 3 children, at one point or another, one of them, at one point or another in their lives, will suffer from a mental illness of one sort or another. In other words, 20% of Kenyans, whether we like it or not, will at one point or another have a mental health need.
With a pandemic taking a toll on people's mental state, the Kenyan government is urging its citizens to seek help if they need it at this trying time. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nakuru, Kenya.
That's it for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guests, mother and daughter, Dr. Chepo Maka, and filmmaker Kabelo Maka. For the latest news and coverage on the coronavirus pandemic, visit voanews.com. Check us out at facebook.com/voahealthchat. Thank you all for joining us today, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Diane Brown. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and wash your hands more frequently. Strive to